No way.
That's great.
We landed on the moon.
Welcome back. We are back with another edition of the Fantasy 40 Podcast with myself, John Abari, my co-host, Matt Walker, and brought to you by our friends at Expand the Box Score. So, a couple weeks in a row, we talked about free agency that has been beaten to death. So, we are moving back to the most exciting time of the year, rookie talk. Today, we're kind of going to look at the rookie class and some of the best and or worst landing spots for each of these guys. We're going to go position by position. There's a few, like obviously Caleb Williams. It doesn't even matter what we think. He is going to go to the Chicago Bears at first, so not going to beat that to death. But Walk, how are you? And since Williams is out of the way, who do you want to go to next?
I'm doing great. And ironically enough, I think that Chicago is probably the best landing spot for him as well, which is not typical of the first overall pick, but this isn't a typical first overall pick. I mean, the Bears are picking ninth off of their team. So they just hit the Carolina Panthers lottery with Caleb Williams, but they have talent on this team, and bringing in Keenan Allen to go along with DJ Moore, and they have Cole Kmet. They brought in DeAndre Swift, so they have, a capable pass catcher in the backfield to go along with Khalil Herbert and Roschon Johnson. You know, if they solidify that offensive line, he's going to be in a unique position for a quarterback drafted first overall. So I that's where I would pick as well, because he's my QB1 in this draft. And I think the Bears, kind of the top teams, are the best landing spot. So starting with him, then my QB2 right now is Drake May. And ideally, I think Washington is the best landing spot for him at pick two. They have some talent in Terry McLaurin and Jahan Dotson. They signed Antonio Gibson, Gibson walk so they could sign Austin Eckler, who's a nice release valve. They brought in Zach Ertz, who's a veteran, kind of stable tight end presence. And I think that's a good landing spot for Drake May, who I think is, a solid passer and has rushing upside. So Drake May to the Washington Commanders is the ideal landing spot for me.
Yeah, I don't hate either one of those spots. My concern with the Bears is if they are not noticeably better this year, that Eberflus has a very short leash. I think he's already on the hot seat, and the thought of them, completely turning over their coaching staff and Williams having a second system in place, it is a bit concerning to me. But I don't disagree with anything you said about either one of those guys. Both of those teams seem to have done everything they can to put whatever quarterback they select in a good position to succeed. Then moving down,
Before you move on, though, I think it's ironic you mentioned Eberflus on a hot seat, and it might rightfully be true. He's going into his third year with the team, right? His first year, he was 3-14 with them. They had a minus 137 point differential. Last year, he got them up to 7-10, like probably razor thin a couple games from being a 500 team, with a minus 19 point differential. So they seriously reduced the points allowed, which is kind of his.
Yeah, I think that's more that, right?
It's not. Yeah, it's offense. The defense. I mean, they only scored 34 more points on offense, but clearly Justin Fields wasn't the answer for him. So I don't be shocked, short of an implosion, that he gets let go after this year. But the NFL is not for long, and this guy's got 10 wins through two seasons. So I guess anything's possible. I'm just saying the team has gotten better under Eberflus. And I think he should at least have 2 years to see what he can do with a Caleb Williams, but I'm also not Ryan Poles. So,
the next logical spot is New England picking at three. I'm not convinced they even go quarterback. I don't like that spot for anyone. So go through the list of quarterbacks and go, Not a good spot for any of them, but a lot of people have thought Jaden Daniels might go in this top two. I heard some rumblings yesterday, I think, that Daniels is the preferred guy for Washington at two. But, I don't really have a spot where I think Jaden Daniels kind of fits. I do you have anything where you go, that looks like a good spot for him? I think he gets stuck in New England potentially, but
Yeah, to your point, I think Kingsbury's offense makes sense for Jaden Daniels, and I could see them picking him too over Drake May. So Washington would be the preferred landing spot for both of those guys for me. I agree.
Agreed. I don't
like New England for any of these quarterbacks. They just don't have high-end pass catchers or offensive talent. You know, it's a defensive-minded head coach. It's New England, right? So we're talking weather as well. Like, it's just – it's not ideal for any of these guys. I personally think that the Patriots stick and pick. Jacoby Brissett, you know, as a quarterback. And you don't want to be in a top three pick again next year. So if you got Drake Mason there at three, I don't know how you don't take Drake May at three, my personal opinion. I've heard that the top three picks are like locked to not move back because of this class and because of the need for the teams. So whoever doesn't go two, I think goes three to New England. And I think that's less than ideal.
I was going to say, would you say for May or Daniels that New England is one of the worst landing spots for them? I would say yes. Anybody, that's the one you don't want. Shit, I would even compare to that Denver job. New England is the least appealing to me, for sure. Another spot, too, I just saw a little breaking news thing come across my phone. They asked Sean Payton, how realistic is it that Denver would trade up and to acquire a quarterback? And his answer was realistic. So they seem to be in the running. I mean, if McCarthy's four and Minnesota and Denver are now in an arms race to get up there, and you look at these remaining guys. So, could Knicks be the number five in the mix here? I mean,
listen, it's entirely possible, but you don't trade up for Bo Nix. So he's there at 12 for the Broncos if they want it all day long. Now, McCarthy and the Vikings, there's no secret as to why they made those trades they did to get the picks. They, one, already have a better pick than the Broncos this year. They have 11, the Denver's 12. And then, two, they added 23 in that trade with Houston. So that's a lot better of a starting offer than Denver can offer. Even if Denver's offer next year's first,
Denver's screwed.
Yeah, Denver's been boxed out by Quessy for the Vikings, and they're going to move up. I think they end up moving up. I don't know why the Cardinals would move out of Marvin Harrison Jr. Personally, it's such a huge need for them.
I think
11 and 23, you can get a receiver still.
Even at
the 23 pick, and then you address, maybe offensive line or something like that, or defense at 11.
I mean, they could double dip. They could take two wide receivers if they wanted.
They could, but I think all three, the top three, are gone by 11.
I think you're correct.
So what are you willing to give up? Are you moving down to a Brian Thomas, Troy Franklin, Xavier Worthy, Adonai Mitchell? Like, I don't think you double dip with that, guys. You can probably get one in the second round. You can take wide receiver, another premium position, and probably still get a decent wide receiver in the second round. If you're the Cardinals who are picking 35th overall, you can probably get like a Ladd McConkey, type at 35. So maybe, I just don't know. I think the Chargers are the team to move out of five because they're kind of rebuilding.
Correct.
And for them to be able to get 11 and 23 off of five, if the Cardinals aren't moving, that just makes too much sense to me. So I could see McCarthy landing at five. And I do think the Vikings are a great landing spot for McCarthy. That scheme would seem to fit his skill set wonderfully. And then you start thinking about Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, TJ Hockenson, that you're throwing to for the next.
Yeah.
3 to 4 years minimum, and there's no rush. You're going to start Sam Darnold there, and because Hockenson's probably not coming back till midseason. Like, it's a pretty good situation for a J.J. McCarthy to fall into, because I do think he needs some time.
Yeah, and
throw in right away.
That's where I am with him, and to me, Darnold's such a non-factor. That scares me off Minnesota a little bit. Just looking down the list of kind of people who need someone for the future – I like McCarthy to the Rams, assuming McVay's not going anywhere. you know, sit behind Stafford for 2 years and really get your legs underneath you. I mean, it's hard to see a first round pick sit for 2 years. That doesn't happen anymore. But, you know, trying to think of what would be the best fit for him long term. Even any of these guys going to Denver, especially if they're still talking about trading Cortland Sutton and moving on from him. It's like they have no tight ends. If you move Sutton, it's just Mims. You have no weapons for this guy. If you're trading up to get whoever, McCarthy or Nix or whoever you like, that's just a terrible spot because the weapons are not going to be there for you. And for them to trade up, they probably give something up for next year. So even a year from now, they don't have cap space or draft capital to do anything to put this guy in a position to succeed. We talked about, you know, what the Bears and Commanders have done to make it a good landing spot for whatever rookie they bring in. There's nothing Denver can even do till 2026 to make it a comfortable spot for a rookie. Denver's the worst for any of these guys.
Oh yeah. Denver's terrible. I mean, you might like the coach, but you're right. The situation isn't good. I mean, especially with the Russell Wilson cap hit, like they really can't spend even for the next 2 years, you know, as they would like to do off of a rookie contract. So I don't see why the Broncos would even entertain drafting a rookie this year. I think they got to bottom out. I think they just let whoever it is. I'm drawing a blank on the quarterback.
Stidham.
I was like, I know it's Jared, but I couldn't get the last name. You let him quarterback this year.
Jared from Subway.
Yeah, you just let him run this thing straight into the Rocky Mountains. Like, and you're 1 year closer. You got half of Russ's money out. Hope a quarterback emerges in next year's class and you make a play from then. Like, start fixing some shit. At 12, draft a defensive end or something, you know, to help your pass rush. Take an offensive tackle. Like, this is where you start, like, building the trenches. I mean, who am I to tell Sean Payton what to do? But I think taking any quarterback, especially when we're talking about like the Bo Nixes of the world, like, is a mistake at 12. I mean, I personally think Bo Nix should be available in the second round if they want to. And I don't even have a second round pick, oddly enough, because of Sean Payton.
Yeah.
The Saints have the second round pick for the Broncos this year because of the Sean Payton contract. So, yeah, the Denver's proper fucked in this one. They don't pick again until – when the hell do they pick again?
Maybe day three.
They don't even have pick 81 either.
Yeah, I think day three. I think they skip it. I don't think they pick at all day three.
They got one pick. Yeah, okay, yeah. They're not making any moves. So they even traded their 113th pick, but they do have 121. So they just traded all their picks. I don't have really any compensatory picks, it doesn't look like. Yeah, they're in hell. Yeah, don't put a quarterback there.
Oh, man. Our win-loss is going to be fun. You said that a week or two ago.
There certainly is. So, Bo Nix, I mean, listen, a starting opportunity for him or Penix is in Denver or potentially in Vegas with the Raiders. I think those are opportunities for both of those guys. I don't believe either of them are first-round picks. We already said Denver doesn't have a second round pick. So maybe, you know, the Raiders in the second round at pick 44 makes a little bit of sense. To me, as you're looking down the list, there's really not any early second round teams that need quarterbacks. Like the Giants don't go quarterback in the first, which I don't believe they do at 47. If they take one of these young guys, assuming it's the beginning of the end of that Daniel Jones contract, just find the places where they could be starters potentially. The Los Angeles Rams at 52, if they're looking for Matthew Stafford's heir apparent, I think if one of these guys falls there.
I think there's a couple spots a year from now we would not feel so terrible about. You mentioned the Giants already, but I think Seattle, like I know they traded for Howell, but there, you know, there's obviously a world where they like, let's just say Penix, because he's in their backyard, they like him a little more than what they have on Howell. And they could draft him a little later in this draft to have him sit for a year behind one more year at Geno. Tampa Bay, you know, that Mayfield contract is pretty much a one-year one. So if he stinks, he'll be gone. But, you know, whatever, Michael Pratt goes to Tampa in the third. I don't hate that developmentally for a year from now. And what was the other one? I hit a third. I lost it. But yeah, I like the Giants. I like Seattle and Tampa Bay to be kind of good landing spots for these guys with your fingers crossed for next year. But if any of those teams suck, and they're typically that's because your quarterback stinks, they're going to be drafting early next year. And I know it's kind of a right now it's viewed as not that great of a QB class, but if those teams are bad, they're going to draft somebody earlier than they're drafting Penix or Nix or Pratt or Rattler this year.
It's true. And you're right. Seattle has 81. Meanwhile, the Tampa Bay Bucks have 89 and 92 right now. You know, so I think that's like a Spencer Rattler area. And I would like the opportunity for him in either of those locations. So that that kind of wraps up quarterback, because we're not going to get into, like, I know you mentioned Michael Pratt, but Jordan Travis, Joe Milton,
no,
sexy Sam Hartman.
Out.
Yeah. Enough on the quarterback. Let's move on to the running back position, where there's been some changes at the top, but currently on Mock Draft Database, the top running back at 60th overall. Where is a good landing spot for Trey Benson?
You know, being my running back one, my cheap answer is anywhere. But I mean, we're so impatient, especially in Dynasty. We draft these guys. We want something out of them right away. So there's a few. I mean, Dallas obviously has a history of producing good fantasy running backs. They have a dire need at the position. I think Green Bay, even though they signed Josh Jacobs, they do like to have two running backs. And what's his name is only Dylan's only guaranteed like 115,000, 175,000, I think. So if they draft a rookie and he stinks in camp, they could easily get rid of Dylan despite signing that new contract. The Chargers obviously have a hole now. So there's a few spots, but yeah, for me, that dream spot is Dallas for any of them.
Yeah, see, Dallas picks 56th in the second round. So, like, that seems to be like a hot spot for running back, given what, you know, right now, Rico Dowdle's their starting running back.
And Dallas is a team that doesn't care about early draft capital on running backs. They'll happily do it.
Yes. Yeah. So Trey Benson or Jonathan Brooks make some sense. Jonathan Brooks, I think he has knee surgery done by the Dallas Cowboys athletic trainer.
Mm. Even better. I mean, yeah, I didn't know that part, but yeah, then they would have the potential to get a little more information on his medicals than a lot of the other teams. But I think a lot of the running back spots are kind of well known. So I think a lot of these guys could get plug and played, where somebody like Braylon Allen, for example, given his build and his size, there's certain teams that have historically liked bringing in a bigger guy like that. Like, I know Tennessee brought in Pollard. You know, they have Tajay Spears there, but I wouldn't hate Braylon Allen going there. I wouldn't hate Braylon Allen going to Baltimore. I mean, it's nothing for this year, but coming in when they're done with Derrick Henry, or even we mentioned that Dallas spot. If Dallas waits another round or two, Braylon Allen will probably still be there. And I love him in Dallas. I think he's an underrated pass catcher. He could be a three down back, even though he's kind of got that build as an early down thumper. But again, it keeps going back to Dallas and kind of a dark horse that nobody's talked about. I think Cleveland's a good spot for any of these backs. You know, they like Nick Chubb. They're bringing him back. No one has any idea what Chubb's going to look like when he comes back from this injury. And even if he looks great, he's you know, falling off the age cliff for running back. So somebody could have a starting role there in a year or two, which is kind of all you expect from these running backs.
It's funny you mention that, because I looked at Cleveland at 54 before you mentioned that, and said this is a sneaky spot because of everything you mentioned about Nick Chubb. Now, they signed someone else. I forget who it was. Dont'a Foreman. You know, he's just a placeholder. Right? I'm sure his contract isn't really prohibitive. And then they have Kareem Hunt's gone. That was a one-year deal. So they have Jerome Ford. That's it. You know, they like to run the ball. So, you know, a Trey Benson in Cleveland makes a ton of sense, in my opinion. You kind of went off on Braylon Allen a little bit. I'm not a Braylon Allen guy. I have totally soured on him. His decision to not do any of the athletic testing. I was very curious to me, because I think he is straight line fast, but why not run? Right. I haven't heard anything about an injury. I'm just curious. I think you mentioned it like early on when we were talking about him. If this was like 1990, 2000, yeah, you couldn't stop me from drafting Braylon Allen. But I don't think he's a good pass catcher. He had manufactured opportunities this last season in Wisconsin, and he did nothing with them.
That's what everybody does at Wisconsin, though. That's my big
concern. No, Wisconsin has a new offense finally in place.
Yes.
So things are changing there. I was watching what he did. He's not going to be running routes. So any running back can catch a few dump balls here and there. But almost like most of Derrick Henry's career, where he was not used in the pass game at all, but he's shown the last couple of years that he can, be a difference maker in a limited capacity. I just don't even think Braylon Allen has that skill set. I think Braylon Allen is a two down back. So I'm out in fantasy. There's utility for him in the NFL. There is a world where he could be the Dallas running back, right? Dallas has the 87th pick in the third round. And right now, mock draft database has Braylon Allen as the 90th overall pick. So likely available at that point in time to address the position with, a young running back that can handle a heavy workload, a la Zeke. So I wouldn't blow my mind if that's the plan, because Dallas hasn't done anything in free agency and they've done very little. They re-signed Dowdle at the running back position, so they are extremely light. So I do think that's probably one of the better landing spots for Braylon Allen. Jalen Wright's the guy I want to see. You mentioned Green Bay, and not that I don't like Josh Jacobs, but I can't get Jalen Wright, Aaron Jones out of my head watching him run. I can't. So that's where I've kind of been mentally mocking him since I kind of became totally infatuated with him. But the beauty is he's now listed as 83rd overall in mock draft database. You know who holds the 83rd overall pick in the NFL draft right now?
Green Bay?
Los Angeles Rams.
Hmm.
And you know how I feel about Kyren Williams.
Yeah.
So,
well, even if you like Kyren Williams, they don't have any depth behind him. I mean, and unfortunately, we live in a world where 98% of these teams, it's running back by committee, which is good and bad. You don't have these monster performers anymore, but most teams end up with two viable fantasy options because everyone's in the same boat.
So, yeah, I like the player in the land spot. Packers have 88, so it's not too far off. But I don't see them with bringing back A.J. Dillon and given the contract they did to Josh Jacobs. I don't see them sinking day two capital into a running back. Even with the Jamal Williams, Aaron Jones kind of year, it was day three capital. So there'll be something they probably take, in round five type that could make the team. I don't know who that is, like a Marshawn Lloyd. Maybe an Audric Estime, since they're soured on A.J. Dillon. Estime's kind of that same powery type back with light feet. So I could see an Estime to Cleveland to Green Bay on day three, eventually replacing A.J. Dillon in a year, I think is a good spot for him. The one name we skipped that's kind of at the top is Blake Corum. And I think it's because everyone just says Blake Corum is going to be a Los Angeles Charger, right? He's just going to follow Harbaugh to the Chargers because there's a clear void on the team. He just makes a ton of sense. He's, it's a run-based offense. He's a rundowns player. He knows, the coaching staff knows him well, yada, 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 yada. Is that ideal for him? Like 105, the Chargers pick 105. If Blake Corum falls a little bit, he's right now 79 on mock draft database, and the Chargers don't have, it looks like, a third round pick. Oh, they do. They have 69. So they would have to give early round three capital to insure him, but if he falls into that hundreds range, which running backs could do, is it the Chargers or bust for him?
I actually like him in Baltimore. I think he would do great in Baltimore. People connect him with Harbaugh with the Chargers. However, there is a Harbaugh connection through Baltimore too. So, I mean, if anybody would know his skill set more than the Chargers, I would probably think it's Baltimore. I mean, a lot of that staff, I think, either did coach at Michigan, or they went one way or the other, and obviously all those people talk. And Corum actually, at Michigan's pro day, did a lot of pass catching out of the slot and shown his skills as a receiver. So I think he's sneakily better than a lot of people think he is. I might even possibly make him my RB3 and bump Braylon Allen down to 4.
He's above Braylon Allen for me, and I think he is a better pass catcher. It's just Michigan offense didn't require that at all.
Correct. Him.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's more skilled as a pass catcher than Braylon Allen.
But yeah, I think there's a couple of spots where he could fit in. I think Cincinnati, he could, you know, I think he would be good in Cincinnati. I do like Baltimore. Talk about, you know, like I said, a two running back system. I like him in Buffalo with him and James Cook kind of 1 and 2 in it. Kansas City needs some depth. I mean, CEH isn't coming back. McKinnon is 58 years old. So I like a Corum and Pacheco 1-2 punch in Kansas City. So there's a few spots. And if teams think he's a better pass catcher than they did maybe coming initially, like you said, because of just it wasn't showcased in Michigan, and he's trying to show it off a little bit here in this pre-draft process, I think he'd go a little earlier than we're thinking. And I think most teams, it would end up being a decent landing spot as long as they still had a need for running back. I mean, look at Washington. You know, you're not a Brian Robinson guy. There's a new team in there, a new staff in place there, so they're not married to Brian Robinson anyway. Okay, you bring in Corum to kind of be the running back 3, learn a little bit from Eckler, and then a year from now, you know, he could have a prominent role with Washington. The Colts, I think the Colts can get out of Jonathan Taylor's contract after this season. So there's quite a few spots where these guys could go, which on paper right now might not seem great, but like a year from now, you go, oh, shit, the Colts got rid of Taylor and dumped his contract, and Blake Corum looks like he's going to be the RB1 for next year. So there's a few sneaky spots that I think people aren't thinking of. Like you, I mean, we talked about Cleveland to start this off. I don't anybody. I think I would bump up there. Chubb ain't coming back for the first half of the season. Who's Deonta Foreman keeping off the field if you show anything? So there are quite a few spots I think for running backs more than years past, which kind of sucks because this class is a little soft once you get out of that top 3.
Yeah, agreed. Jonathan Taylor looks like his potential out is until 26. He still has a $12.5 million dead cap next year. Mm. So he's probably safe through 2 years. The Bengals hold pick 80, which is almost on the nose for Corum's mock draftable, which I like that a lot because I don't think Zach Moss is anything special. I think he earned the contract he got, and I'm not the biggest Chase Brown guy. He's not an every down back. So having him pick up the Joe Mixon role would be.
And I like Brown more than you, but I really like a Corum Brown combo. I think they complement each other well. I think it would be a really nice 1-2 punch.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly there. Okay, we're gonna name one more running back, then we're getting off this because we got a lot of receivers to talk about. Marshawn Lloyd, the last one of consequence. Currently 106 on mock draft database, and that is in 105 Chargers round 4 range. If they're not a Corum guy and he lands there, his stock is going to skyrocket. Even 104 the Cardinals, who have James Conner and just about nothing else, not a bad landing spot, you know, for the Cardinals in that 104 range. The Giants at 107, I mean, it's Devin Singletary. You know, I think there's opportunity there. The Vikings at 108, Aaron Jones is on a 1-year contract. There's a lot of guys right in where Lloyd is projected to be going. The Chargers actually have 2 picks. They have 105 and 110 in the draft. So in like that 104 to 110 to 110 spot, just about every team outside of the Falcons, there's opportunity now for a Marshawn Lloyd. I think all of those would be solid landing spots for him.
Yeah, he's not my favorite, but I don't disagree with, you know, where other people have him, where he's projected to go. So, I mean, I'm obviously in the minority, but like you said, you listed those teams. You mentioned Arizona. We didn't even talk about that. I mean, at some point, James Conner is going to stop playing football. And it's sooner than, you know, most people seem to think, even though that guy has been
super productive in a Cardinals uniform, and the Giants too. That was another one we haven't really talked about. I mean, just because I love him, I'll throw the name out there. But how much higher right now? I think you got Ray Davis 11. How much higher would you put Ray Davis if he went to the Giants? To me, that's a great landing spot for that guy, given his skill set and what kind of competition they have there. I have him currently – he's already 6, so I don't have much room for him to move up. But I could easily possibly leapfrog Braylon Allen.
Yeah, that's a guy that you are more high on than me. I mean, he is super old, been in the league forever. So, you know, it's been in college forever. So – it would be hard for me to get there, but where he's slotted to go, you're talking about like the Ravens, the Chiefs type guys, Buffalo Bills. I think those type of spots for a Ray Davis would be pretty sweet.
And when I went through the list of team needs, it seems like running back was packed the last year. Like, oh, every team's got two, some teams have a third guy. There's a lot of teams that need another body, especially when we think about these, you know, committees and the way they use them. So I don't see a lot of bad landing spots this year. I mean, except for like the Niners, right? You know, you just don't want to be buried behind McCaffrey or Saquon Barkley. Other than that, I think most of these guys will end up in a good spot. Like we mentioned the Baltimore spot. It probably sucks for this year, but next year, 2 years from now, I think that's one of the better spots, but they're obviously going to run Derrick Henry's fucking legs into the ground this year. But there's a lot more spots for running backs than I think we're used to seeing. And I think there's going to be a lot of value in our rookie drafts this year because people are down on this class. So when it comes to one of these flashier wide receivers on draft day and whatever, just say Ray Davis to the Giants again, overlook Ray Davis to the Giants when you could get one of these wide receivers. I think people will pass on them. I think we're going to get a lot more value than we normally do because usually running backs get artificially bumped up just because of need. But I think this wide receiver class is gaining so much steam. I think there's a lot of RB value.
Yeah, I don't disagree. All right, let's jump to tight end because we're only going to talk about two. I'm not going to get into weeds at tight end, and we'll finish at wide receiver. So Brock Bowers. Currently mock draft database at pick number 9 overall. Well, pick number 10 is currently the New York Jets. And I'm starting to hear a lot of steam for adding a Brock Bowers to those New York Jets who, you know, it's not that difficult to overcome like a Tyler Conklin in that offense. And it's still a weak spot of the Jets offense. Now we can go the Aaron Rodgers narrative, right, of that he historically doesn't really target the tight end. But Brock Bowers also isn't a tight end. So pass catching trio of Garrett Wilson, Mike Williams, and Brock Bowers Breece Hall in the backfield would probably be the best skill position grouping I think Aaron Rodgers has ever had around.
It's certainly possible.
And I'm not trying to connect dots of Davante Adams, Aaron Jones were there at the same time, but was there really a third wide receiver? I'm not going to give Randall Cobb any like high praise. Like was there a year where it was Jordy Nelson, Davante Adams, Aaron Jones? I don't know. So don't if that's the case, then we win. If not, then this grouping would win, in my opinion.
We're not Packer historians.
Yeah, so
yeah, I think Bowers is so, you know, people are calling him the best tight end prospect of all time. So, you know, he's landing spot safe no matter where he goes. Cincinnati has been the spot that I think we've talked about before. And a lot of people had him going there. I would love that, especially if it doesn't look like Tyler Boyd's coming back and he kind of becomes their slot. And then a year from now, when T. Higgins is totally gone and Bowers is the number 2 in a Burrow-led offense, yes, please. That's my dream spot for him. And I don't think there's a bad spot for him, so I don't think there's any bad landing spots. And you mentioned you want to talk about two guys here. I don't like any, but I don't think any. I mean, there's teams that obviously have a need, so you could plug any of these guys in, but it's not a, it's not a dream spot. I don't think anybody has such a need for a fantasy producer. We got spoiled last year with a couple of these rookies having big years led by Laporta, but the one guy that I like that can go later and end up with a team, Ben Sinnott going to Kansas City and kind of squeezing in and being the heir apparent to Kelsey, that's one that I'm just salivating over, hoping to God that I could will that to happen. But other than that, you know, I'm the other guy you want to talk about, Jatavion Sanders. I think the same thing with him. I said with Bowers, if you're going to take him, you're taking him early and you have a plan for him in place as an offensive weapon. So anywhere he goes, there's obviously teams that have more need for that, like Miami, for example, or I think Philly could use another tight end. San Francisco gets somebody behind oft-injured Kittle. Carolina has fucking nothing, despite guys that I've liked for years and had potential. But there's a few spots where obviously it's plug and play day one, but those two guys are going to get the draft capital and going to get on the field, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Brock Bowers, if he does go past the Jets at 10, right? There was a little Titans buzz at 7, but I think they go offensive line. So if he falls out of top 10, there's kind of a decent run. I think the Saints at 14, the Colts at 15,
yep.
The Bengals at 18, the Rams at 19. Tyler Higbee got lost at the end of the year.
They paid so much money to fucking Colby Parkinson. I don't see it as being an early pick for
probably
them.
Not, but you know, there's a need. The Miami Dolphins at 22. I mean, there's a grouping in there that he just makes sense to me for all of them. I see you skipped over Sanders to talk about Sanat because I was trying not to talk about anyone else in this class, but I know you like Sanat, tested great, good for him. Of course, if he lands in Kansas City, I'll be interested. But Jatavion Sanders, if the Panthers use 33 or 39, they have two early second round picks on a Jatavion Sanders to kind of help out Bryce Young. Like, they seem like they're addressing wide receiver a little bit, bringing in Deontay Johnson. Like, maybe they go wide receiver instead of tight end still with one of those two picks. I don't think they go offensive skill with both because their defense stinks. They keep giving away their defensive pieces. Just traded Brian Burns away. That's how they got 39. So I think they go defense with one, but if they can find a way into a Jatavion Sanders with one of those picks, I think that's a plum landing spot for Sanders early second round to be good capital for him. I still like the player, even though he didn't test as athletically as he looked on the field. But from a fantasy football perspective, he's the type of tight end you want. He's the one that's going to be out in routes, and he's not going to be glued to the line of scrimmage. The same thing with Bowers. These guys are glorified wide receivers, big slots, but they'll qualify as tight ends for fantasy football purposes, and that's what we want.
Yeah. All right. I got nothing to add. I agree.
So going on to wide receiver, Marvin Harrison, Arizona Cardinals, right? That's the best spot. Top four capital, Kyler Murray.
What's your level of concern with him doing nothing ever?
Yeah, I mean, it seems to be like the new fad. I was kind of curious that he didn't even attend the combine. That struck me as odd. You know, for like
he didn't even do anything at the pro day. Did you see that?
I know, too? But like, he didn't attend the combine. He didn't go there. Like, that's weird. Like, I get not working out, but he didn't even go meet teams while I was there. That struck me as a little odd. But it's reported he didn't want to do athletic training. He's like football training. Like, that's what his focus is. So he wasn't preparing for any of the, you know, the 40 or the vert or the broad or stuff like that. So, okay, if that's it, so be it. It is a little curious, but I don't think he's like he's not an arrogant receiver, right? I don't know why it just doesn't bother me as much with him. If he was like a just known diva receiver that was doing his shit, I'd be like, I'm a little concerned, but he's not. You know, bloodlines of the dad, like he's probably like, you know, dad's probably like, don't even worry about that shit. You're already the wide receiver one in this class. Let's get you ready for the football season. I guess there's a world where he's already been told by the Cardinals they're taking him at 4, right? So why test? Don't risk going out there and getting hurt. Yeah, like on
that's true.
Doing any of this useless shit, like we're taking you at 4 type thing. So if that's the case, he can't outwardly say it, right? He can't come out and be like, sorry, guys. You know, probably they're going to take me. So there's a world. It doesn't bother me that much with him because I know he's training and he's wide receiver one. So I think that's the best landing spot and the most likely landing spot for him. Now, listen, without saying, if he falls and goes to a team with a much better quarterback, but again, teams picking early. You know, the Cardinals have quarterback established and a huge need at wide receiver. They have no one there. It's literally Michael Wilson and Greg Dortch, I think, are their top two receivers right now. So Harrison, it's going to be Harrison and Trey McBride season. They're going to see 50% of the targets from Kyler Murray.
Yeah, and assuming Harrison's as good as we think from day one, right? I really like his presence helping Michael Wilson. Dortch is a fine three, but I think if defenses have to pay attention to him, I think the other guys all – I think it's good for everybody. I agree with you for best landing spot for him, but I think it's the best landing spot for fantasy in general. I think it makes Dortch a usable fringe wide receiver three. I think Michael Wilson becomes a low-end wide receiver two. I think he bumps everybody's value up quite a bit. If he goes there, I'm really interested to see – like I said, he's got to hit the ground running, and teams are like, oh, shit, we got to make sure we're rolling coverage over to this guy. But I think there's potential for everybody to get a nice bump for fantasy.
Yeah, it puts everyone else where they belong. I agree with you 100%. I like Greg Dortch since he was coming out. Like, I've been like, I was a Greg Dortch guy. I didn't do shit right away because he was undersized. But, you know, anytime he's been on the field with the Cardinals, he's been productive. So him is like a slot. I think it's phenomenal. And you're right. Move Michael Wilson over, you know, to opposite Marvin Harrison and be able to tilt coverage. And then you have a Trey McBride running wild in the middle of the field. We're building something there in Arizona. So I just think the pick makes too much sense. So not to be what's happening and what's best for Marvin Harrison.
So Neighbors is most people's wide receiver two. Next team up after the Cardinals is the Chargers. They need a ton of wide receiver help after getting rid of Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. It's a deep class. I'm sure they're going to bring in at least two guys in this draft. I know Neighbors is higher ranked, but Odunze seems like a better fit for the Chargers. I like that. And then Neighbors, in theory, would fall to the Giants at six. I think those are the three best landing. I mean, Daniel Jones fucking sucks. So hopefully the Giants address that at some point. So I don't love it for him this year as far as who would be throwing the ball. But yeah, if it goes Harrison to the Cardinals, Odunze to the Chargers, and Neighbors to the Giants, I think those are the three best spots for all of them. And especially with the Giants, he'd be the clear number one from day one. The only question mark there is who's going to throw him the ball next season. But I think those are the three best spots, and I think it's highly likely, given the way the draft order is, unless one of these teams already has a deal in place with Minnesota to jump up there and grab McCarthy.
Yeah, I don't believe, even if the Chargers stay at five, that they pick receiver. I just don't. I know what they did, you know, getting rid of Williams and Keenan Allen, who were highly paid, you know, wide receiver assets, one coming off a major injury and one, you know, in his 30s at this point. So moving off of that made total sense, regardless of where the team was in their construction.
It's
becoming readily apparent to me that Harbaugh doesn't care about wide receivers. So to spend a top five pick on one I'd be a little shocked. I do think they trade out, so I don't think it matters.
Only have four on their roster.
Yeah, well, that's three more than
he only have four on their roster.
Yeah, they're good. Yeah, they brought in Hayden Hurst. They brought in Will Disley. They still have
Donald Parham.
They have Parham, and they have Stone Smart there. Like, they're running 12 personnel all day long. You know, receivers, dime a dozen. You know, and they pick at 37. You can get a receiver at 37. You can.
I mean, look, if they're the team Minnesota can put a deal in with, and they're picking then what, 11, 23, and 37, I get where you're going, and especially, you know, they have four wide receivers. They could get up to six by burning two of those picks in a deep draft class, which probably is preferable for real life, maybe not for fantasy, but the cupboard is literally bare. There's fucking nothing. I don't think there's another team with less receivers rostered right now.
No, I mean, it could be less receivers rostered or less talent. I mean, it's all relative, right?
Both.
I mean, this is a deep draft. You're going to get you're going to get receivers on day three that are going to make rosters in the NFL.
There's going to be guys getting undrafted. There's a couple, you know, free agents that are
going to be a unique year for wide receiver, and maybe the Chargers lean into that. I do agree that I think Rome Odunze makes more sense for the Chargers than Neighbors if they stick and pick at five. But either one, if they end up with Justin Herbert, is now the wide receiver two over the other one. If it stays, I do believe the Giants have to go wide receiver. I mean, we're talking about, you know, that's the team that came to mind as far as terrible wide receiver rooms.
Yeah.
I mean, they have speed in Hyatt and Slayton on the outside, but that's what they are. They're one-dimensional speed receivers. Then they got little Wandell Robinson. Like, that's their receiving room. Like, a Malik Neighbors would be tremendous, you know, addition to that Giants offense. And whether it's Daniel Jones or someone else, they'll hopefully figure that out. So I do think the Giants are a good landing spot for Malik Neighbors at six, if that's how it goes. So after him, currently, Brian Johnson is listed as 18th overall.
Brian Thomas
as the fourth running back, fourth wide receiver prospect. And curiously enough, the Bengals are picking 18th. They have T. Higgins on a one-year deal. Doesn't seem like they're going to extend him, and he doesn't want to be there anymore. And they lost Tyler Boyd. We know how much value the Bengals front office places in wide receiver. And everyone can hope that Andre Yoshivas or, you know, Charlie Jones is like the next Puka Nacua.
Well, those two guys probably are the reason they're in no rush to bring Boyd back, right? So they would be the guy that takes Boyd's role. And I like both of them. But, yeah, they need something. If they're not going to get him on the field, right? Obviously, they're going to use T. Higgins unless they grant his trade, which I don't see why they would. It just seems like, maybe it is the smarter play. They're a good team. I don't hate it. I mean, I like it for fantasy. I just don't know if they would pull the trigger on it.
Yeah, I don't think it happens. I just think it's ironic that
it'd be good. Yeah,
picking there, and he's kind of like a T. Higgins type player as well.
LSU guy in the building.
Yeah, get another LSU guy. Now, at the same time, looking at their offensive line, they have Orlando Brown and Trent Brown as their bookend tackles, who are gigantic human beings. But I'm not crazy about either of them. Orlando Brown's bounced around a little bit. 18 is probably a sweet spot to get a young tackle. This is a deep tackle class as well. So maybe that doesn't work. The Steelers are picking 20. And they traded Deontay Johnson, and right now they're three wide receivers. George Pickens, your boy Van Jefferson, and field stretching gadget guy Calvin Austin.
So that's their top three.
Yeah,
I did write wide receiver for them. I didn't even realize that it was so bad.
Yeah, they're in a bad way.
And they're great at drafting receivers. So.
They are, but, you know, they're great at drafting receivers in the second round. That's their bag. And this is another one of those years where they pick 51 as well. There's going to be, let me just look and see right now, like, receivers going in that range, Roman Wilson, Xavier Leggett, Ricky Pearsall, like, between 48 and 54.
I like all three there.
I agreed. So maybe they go offensive line as well. I'm trying to think where they're at from a offensive line perspective. Dan Moore, don't even know who that is.
That's why I'm looking at it too. I said, who the fuck's Dan Moore?
He was a fourth round pick, but I don't know who he is. They used Broderick Jones, they drafted him last year, and then they got a bunch of undrafteds on the inside. So maybe even interior line, but yeah, it's Dan Moore, he's a Texas A&M kid, 6'5, 315, fourth round pick. Yeah, so I mean, they could address that in the first and get one of these wide receivers in the second. So Brian Thomas could see a little bit of a fall, because then you start looking down deeper in that first round. And I don't think the Dolphins would take him. I don't think the Eagles would take him. I don't think the Vikings would take him with the 23rd pick as they currently have. Now, if the Chargers ended up down at 23, maybe. I don't think Dallas takes him at 24. I don't think the Packers take him at 25. Bucks at 26, maybe. Cardinals have 27. If they don't go Marvin Harrison at four, maybe at 27, but Brian Thomas could realize like a little bit of a fall because because that teens and 20s group, that's a I don't think it's an ideal landing spot. There's an ideal landing spot where it's like a glaring need.
You mentioned the Cowboys, and you know, I don't know if they do it in the first tier, but Dallas, you know, Michael Gallup left. It's just CeeDee Lamb, really. I mean, Cooks is good and he does what he does, but I mean, he's no long-term answer, especially if you're trying to help Dak out. I think
John, there was, how dare you disrespect Martavis Bryant like that?
I think they're a sneaky candidate to take one of the wide receivers early and even add maybe a second one. I think a lot of teams, you know, you go through the list of teams that need wide receiver. I've got Arizona, Baltimore, Buffalo, Carolina. For some reason, the Bears show up on all these lists, but they need one. These other teams need multiple guys. Dallas, Denver, Detroit can add, you know, Jameson Williams has been nothing. They have nobody after Amon-Ra. They have the luxury of having a pretty good roster top to bottom. They could just take best player available. And I suspect on a lot of teams' boards this year, it's going to be wide receivers. I mean, Detroit should add two guys because there's really nothing behind Amon-Ra there in Laporta. Where was I? Indy can use another one. Jacksonville, the Chiefs still need help. The Raiders, you know, what's his name? Adams is getting a little long in the tooth. Chargers probably need three. Miami could use some help, especially Tyreek Hill's talking about retiring in a couple of years. So they know the clock's ticking there. So there was just a few, and there's still more. You know, we mentioned the Giants. The Jets need help. Pittsburgh is screwed. The Niners, if Ayuk really wants to get out of there, they're going to need him. Tampa needs somebody to come up behind Mike Evans. And Washington,
I'm his name's sure. Trey Palmer, John.
Don't dampen my underwear. Believe me, I love that guy.
There's 32 teams in the NFL that need wide receivers, right? Because it's just the
true story.
Three wide sets, you know, and in injuries, like every team could use wide receiver. Now there's varying degrees of need, and I agree with you. I think Dallas is a team of need. Maybe they use their second round pick on them. Detroit picks 29th overall, which I think there's a unique grouping right around there. Adonai Mitchell, Xavier Worthy, both Texas guys, and even Keon Coleman, who I'm not high on, and Ladd McConkey are all between 29 and 35. That Detroit, I mean, I don't know, Keon Coleman, big, you know, receiver, kind of would strike me as a Detroit type guy. I don't think they'd go with Worthy after no. Jameson Williams, even though I think they're different receivers, but you know, that speed element. And then Adonai Mitchell is another one who's a lot of guys, you know, there's, he's getting some pub. He's currently projected. He's 29th is his peak as far as mock draft database. His projection is 28th to the Buffalo Bills. I think that is a great spot for him because Diggs is quickly fading. They let Gabe Davis leave in free agency. They brought in Curtis Samuels, more of a gadget guy. I think Khalil Shakir also is like a wide receiver three on a team. So Adonai Mitchell getting like a year in that offense and being tied to Josh Allen, I think would be a tremendous landing spot for Mitchell. And if he gets there, he might be my wide receiver five in the class.
I have him at 13. And, you know, spoiler alert, next week I think we're going to talk about guys that we are – a little higher or lower on since our post combine rankings. Yeah. I've watched a little more of him and watched some other people break down his film. And I am way too low at 13 and I would love him to Buffalo, love him to Detroit. I mean, you mentioned where Detroit's picking and other guys in that area. I think Xavier Leggett is a good one for Detroit. And there's a lot of guys. I mean, we talk about this class being deep and people that need help. Jalen Polk is fucking good, and that guy's being totally overlooked. The other kid from Washington, really good too. And I mean, these guys aren't even – they're an afterthought. And I think in drafts, especially if you're a sick fuck and you do this all offseason, I've been doing – writing up a bunch of mocks for DLF, and I'm getting in the fourth round, and I'm like, shit, I would love to have four of these guys still. And it's not like – years past where it's a sleeper either, you know, these are guys that you would love to have and their names are out there. And this is a super deep class. It's ridiculous what's left in these mocks when you're getting around three and four. And that's all positions, but a lot of this is fueled by just wide receiver being very deep. I mean, we both like Luke McCaffrey. Luke McCaffrey going to, I mean, the Raiders, they need help. That's a great spot for him. That's a great spot for anybody. Brendan Rice landed with the Giants in like round five. Yes, please. With
whoever right now, Luke McCaffrey is pick 121, which is currently owned by the Denver Broncos. And if they already got rid of Judy, if they get rid of Sutton, that'd be tremendous for him. Right back to where his dad's stomping ground.
I think they all grew up in Denver, didn't they?
Yeah, probably. I mean, that's
Math is correct.
Yeah, there's a world, you know. Yeah, I mean, you're talking guys like high on him or not, right? Names. Brendan Rice, you mentioned, 99 right now. Johnny Wilson, 100. Javon Baker, 102. Jamari Thrash, 117. Luke McCaffrey, 121. Malik Washington, 126. Jacob Cowing, 135. Like, these guys, some slot guys.
Who's picking 95 to 105? Do you have that?
I do. 95 to 105. We'll just run them. Kansas City Chiefs, Jacksonville Jaguars, Cincinnati Bengals, Pittsburgh Steelers, Los Angeles Rams, Washington Commanders, Carolina Panthers, Seattle Seahawks. No. You can't say yes there. New England Patriots.
Yep.
Arizona Cardinals.
Yep.
Los Angeles Chargers.
Yep.
That's 95 to
105.
Man. All but one team, I mean, could and should, right? Draft a wide receiver, you know, at that point at the 3-4 turn.
I mean, you know, and I think just speaking generally, not even specific to anyone, right? A lot of this is going to be being tied to a quarterback. This is a good class with lot, you know, anybody goes to Kansas City, they always get that Kansas City bump, rightfully so. I think whoever the Chargers take is going to get a big bump because of the quarterback and the need for help there. I think the few spots where you don't want any of them to go, you know, as good as Baltimore is, we've seen that be just a death sentence for wide receivers, especially guys that we've been high on. So that's not ideal just because of the type of offense they run. But for the most part, I mean, Denver's a good spot in theory, but not if it's going to be Stidham. So it's okay a year from now, but it's not going to be good now when everybody wants, you know, their return on investment on these rookies from day one. So there are a handful of spots that stink, but you had mentioned earlier that there's just teams run three receiver sets. A lot of teams have needs. These guys are good. They should be able to get on the field and bump some of these crummy veterans we've been stuck with for years out of there, but it's going to be tied to quarterback. I mean, Vegas, I like Minshew. If O'Donnell were to beat him out in camp, that's not a good spot. Whatever's going on in New England, you like the opportunity for them, but I don't trust that offense. You know, we don't even know what that fucking entire team is going to look like without Belichick at the helm for the first time in decades. So you go through the list and Seattle's the only one.
Who the OC is.
No, doesn't matter. But yeah, there's a few spots where, you know, just being tied to a particular quarterback make it unappealing, but for the most part, they're pretty good spots for everybody.
Yeah, hard to disagree. And then there's just like huddled mass that we kind of were above, and then we jumped right below. And you named a couple of guys, but Jalen Polk, 63, Malachi Corley, 67, Tez Walker, 71, Jalen McMillan, 81, Jermaine Burton, 84. That's like early third round to mid third round picks, and I like all of those players to varying degrees, and you know, day two capital isn't bad for any of these guys.
And so I think
a crazy draft.
And I think they all fall because there's so much depth. I don't think, you know, pick a fucking position. You need a safety, and your tier break on safety is somewhere where the guys are left going into the third. Not that this is a particularly strong safety class, I don't think. You're going to pull the trigger on them because you go, whatever, I'll just pick two names on my list. I sure like Ladd McConkey here, but I don't like any of the other safeties. And if I miss out on McConkey, I can get Ricky Pearsall, hopefully, with my next pick. So I think they all get
– ironic, you pick two white receivers for that comparison. But
to scroll down five spots. But you know what I mean? I think a lot of them get worse draft capital, and it has nothing to do with how they're viewed in the NFL. It's that teams can kick the can down the road this year because they go, you know, oh, well, I missed out. I guess I'll take fucking Malik Washington, who I also like. And I have him at 27. I mean, I genuinely like about 27 guys in this class. It was a good one to pick randomly.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. There's 11 wide receivers in the top 50 on Mock Draft Database. That's crazy.
And there won't be 11. And I don't think there's going to be 11 picked in the top. Well, the top kind of gets pushed up. But I think after that, whatever you want to call it, fringe second, third tier, I think they just get pushed down because people are like, well, I can pass on him because we sure like this whatever guard. There's no more guards after this guy. So I guess I miss out on Xavier Leggett because I can get Javon Baker after this. Yeah, I think.
Yeah, and just so you know, it's a shitty gun. There's not a projected first round safety being taken. So you hit the nail on the head with the safety.
Yeah.
It's so bad so that two Utah safeties are in the top seven.
Who's the first? The Miami kid?
No, he's second because he tested terribly. Tyler Nubbin from Minnesota, who I hear a lot of good things about. He's like an early second round pick. He's 41st right now. But Kitchens is 69. He's the second safety. So that goes to
fascinating
classes.
But yeah, I think that buttons it up. Yeah, wide receivers, because it's a good class and teams need multiple receivers. There's very few spots that suck except for Seattle, right? Seattle and Philly. Those spots seem to be locked up. Everybody
else. Listen, I even think Philly is if you get like a better wide receiver three than Devontae Parker. I don't know that it's that bad, but you're right. I mean, I think relative to the passing opportunity, but like the Seahawks addressed that last year with Smith and Jigba, right? And then they fixed the Tyler Lockett contract. Like, yeah, so that's their three wide. I mean, and people still drafted JSN as the wide receiver one last year. You know? And he was going to be a clear three on the depth chart. Now, most of us thought Tyler Lockett was gone after last year, so that didn't happen. But I'm not scared off of being a wide receiver two or three early in their career anymore because that's their playing time is going to be similar if they were the two or the three.
Yeah, Green Bay is probably not a great spot because those. I think they have five good ones now.
And Aaron Rodgers is 26.
Yeah. Houston, probably not great with Nico Collins.
You'd be the wide receiver three in Houston. I mean, I think that was little, right? I mean, you can beat John Metchie out, right? I don't think it's the end of the world. You'd be tied to CJ Stroud.
Metchie's good. I would like to see Metchie get a full workload and see what he can
do. I don't disagree, but if they use decent capital, day two capital on a wide receiver. I'm not running away from them.
Yeah. And Baltimore. I don't want anybody on Baltimore.
No, I'm done with Baltimore. I don't care how long they're, you know, how far away they get from Greg Roman. They're still a run first offense.
Yeah.
And pass through the tight end position. It doesn't even matter if it's Isaiah Likely. Andrews goes out, Isaiah Likely becomes the top target. You know, and then Zay Flowers will catch all his underneath stuff. So I agree with you. That would sound to me the Ravens.
I really like Likely. It sucks that he's buried behind Mark Andrews.
Yeah, well, listen, if they start running two wides, let Likely play kind of like the big slot tight end. That's what he is anyway. I mean, he's not a tight end. He's probably, what's he, like 6'3", 240 would be my guess on Mr. Likely. I mean, that's like, you could be a big slot there. He tested like one anyway. 6'4", 241. He's actually bigger than I thought. He's kind of the new age tight end. Like that's how big Bowers is. I think that's how big Porta is. Like that's the new tight end size, and it's because these guys are more on the move than anything else. Yeah, Porta is 6'3", 245. So he's literally an inch taller and 4 pounds shorter than LaPorta. So, but hey, use him. Use him as a weapon.
He's no tip.
Personality. Don't go re-sign an Odell again and not to use him.
He's no Tip Ryman.
Well, this is true, but who is?
All right, so that should do it for us. Yeah, pretty soon. I mean, it's not that far away anymore. We'll see where these landing spots actually are. We could get all unreasonably excited about it. But next week, got a little more rookie talk, talking about, you know, a little more time has passed. Guys, we've adjusted up, down. People we like a little more, a little less, with a little more time to watch them and read about them and all that other fun stuff. But hopefully you enjoyed this landing spot spectacular. For myself, John DeBari, my co-host, Matt Walker, we are the Fantasy 40, and we are out of here.
Fun fact, the NFL draft is 1 month exactly from today.
Ooh-wee.
No,
but you know what else is stupid?
Listen, she's a shitty lawyer if she has $300,000 in student loans and only $200K owed on her house. I mean, she's not doing her, she's not doing it right.
But people, like when you hear, like when I watch any goofy political stuff and somebody's on there, like, I got into my dream school and now I'm graduating with whatever. $200,000 in debt. It's like, you don't have to go to your
that dream school. Is actually it's actually a nightmare, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. Why anybody would fucking choose?
You know,
it's just to me. No, I don't. I can't.
Well, first off, most of these kids, they're not paying for it. That's why. And the ones that are don't understand economics. It's like this.
You've sold me.
It was $1 million. Their concern wasn't, this is costing me $40,000 a year to go to this school. It was, where are we drinking on Friday night? Yeah, we'll deal with that $200,000, $300,000 nut. You know, when I'm rich with this theoretical law degree, I can't maximize. I stopped buying books after my freshman year.
What'd you do?
Just went to class. Took notes. Copious notes. Didn't buy books. Bought one book after my freshman year. I know. They're not going to test on anything they don't go over in class. And I was right.
Interesting.
I recorded it. I would record my class.
Record it? Look at you, little tape cassette.
Save thousands of dollars in books that I wouldn't have looked at anyway.
I don't remember. I don't remember what I paid for them anymore, which makes the story funnier, but I'll fuck it up. So I don't remember what I paid for them, but I remember 1 year, you know, they always do the book buyback. I got $3.50 for the books when I brought it back, but it was, they gave me a fucking, a $2 bill, a Sacagawea dollar, and a 50 cent piece. I was like, I didn't even get real fucking money back.
It's probably worth more than that $3.50 now if you just kept it.
Yeah, so that's what I got. That was the best part. It was $3.50, and they gave me the weirdest combination of bills to get $3.50 back.
I thought you were going to say, like, oh, I bought this $50 book that they gave me $3.50 for, and then next semester I walked in, and my book was sitting there on sale for sale for $50 again. Biggest racket going. At universities is that buyback program, because all it is a restocking fee. They're giving you $3.50 or whatever it is to walk it back to the bookstore so they can sell it back to 2025 version of you. It's coming in like an idiot.